Thank you for joining us today at Wretched Radio. We do appreciate that you spend part of your day with us. If you are on our email list, you already know the latest little email blast, our 30% off Evangel Pack special, is coming to an end. Now, if none of that made sense to you, let me explain it this way. We have produced a DVD called The Biggest Question. In my humble opinion, a very concise, well-done, long gospel presentation. Evangel Packs are just that. They're packs of The Biggest Question, and you can hand them out as sort of spiffy DVD-like tracks. With Halloween coming up, what better way to give the kids the gospel along with their candy than to drop a Biggest Question DVD in there? Hence, 30% off our Biggest Question Evangel Packs, but it's only through midnight tonight. That way we can guarantee we'll get them to you in time for Halloween. Go to wretchedradio.com and you can check out all the details on the Biggest Question and the 30% savings on Evangel Packs. Wretched. Amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
If there's a culture war, the religious right has started it. The religious right has this book that they're trying to make the world follow.
Shutting down government is unbiblical. Because government has a biblical responsibility to care for the poor, they're against poor people.
God told me that we are our brother's keeper. The labor movement is our brother's keeper. So help me God.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Prepare to have flashback. Oh, don't panic. This is Wretched Radio.
I was worried my email was not functioning. That's all.
The look on your face. No. Who am I supposed to be today? This is Wretched Radio. Well, if you want to be AW Pink, you could go to gracegems.org. Gracegems.org. This is a freebie. They will send you something like this every single day. And I thought maybe, just maybe, this particular grace gem might sort of be a comfort to you, kind of, as we watch society crumble.
A sort of comfort is what you're saying? Kind of comfort.
Because it just gives us a little perspective on what's going on in our wacky world. Because let me tell you something. The world, it's getting wacky. For instance, Norway allows children to legally change gender. That's excellent.
Yeah,
A vote of 79 to 13. Norwegians as young as 6 can now legally change their gender.
No, they can't legally have...
They can't legally do anything else.
But of course
they can't
not.
Physically.
They can't pick what they're going to have for dinner tonight. They can't make their own dinner, but they can make a decision about changing their gender. As if somehow changing the external matches now what's going on inside of you. For instance, now this is something I've been trying to get with the progressive model. And so this is what I've concluded about me. Because in my world, everything is about me. I've decided I want to be a superstar. That's right. I want to be a mega celebrity. And because I was recently in Memphis visiting Graceland, man, did Jack laugh a lot?
you realize you've given him ammunition, right?
During the tour of Graceland, and you go into, it's the racket, his racquetball room place.
Court.
Thank you. I don't want to get all sports lingo-y because we've got enough of that in our culture.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah. ESPN. Enough said. So we went into the, and they've converted the racquetball court because that wouldn't be fun to look at. They've got all of his gold records up on the wall. They've got his different capes. And then they've got like 3 or 4 jumpsuits. Like the he wore that at Madison Square Garden. Oh, that's the one that he wore in Hawaii. That was the last jumpsuits. So I'm thinking to myself, is there a bigger star than Elvis? I say there is not. So I, in an effort to be as big a star as Elvis, I have now commissioned Bill Ballou, I think is his name, the guy who designed the jumpsuits, to design a jumpsuit for me.
Bill Harris?
And then, no, that was Ballou the Bear.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, that's coffee. So if I start wearing this jumpsuit, I'm going to be a superstar. That's right. Because I'm thinking like a progressive right now. You see, if you just mutilate your body, then you become a woman. You just change it. Start wearing a dress and then you're a woman. Because clothing is what actually makes you a particular gender or sex or whatever the lingo is.
Wait. So if I put on my Batman out costume, I'm Batman.
Now you're catching up.
You have to be a super billionaire. Then you can just identify as a billionaire, and then you can use the money believe you have to become Batman.
So if I put on a Superman costume, I can fly.
Just maybe start on the ground off of a picnic table bench. Let's not get carried away with this because
the original Superman couldn't fly. He just jumped really far, so you got to just start there.
And this is the thinking. As ridiculous as this is the thinking of our world. Put on a dress, you're a woman. I think that's offensive to women, as if somehow a dress is what makes a woman a woman. I keep thinking about, I think it was from...
It's the lipstick and eyeliner, dude. Come on.
Right.
That doesn't get any less offensive.
So I'll put on my jumpsuit, and then I'll also, I know what I'll do. I'll start eating peanut butter and banana sandwiches.
And then, ba-boom,
ba-bing. I will be a superstar.
Well, you'll fit in those jumpsuits.
Actually, you'd probably fit three of you in those jumpsuits.
The Madison Square Garden MSG.
Dangerously close to offending the Elvis. So be careful, gentlemen. That's all I have to say. The world wants
to tell him he's dead?
He's not dead. He's just in, the middle of Montana
North Dakota,
running a sporting goods store. So he probably
can't
get our station.
Yeah.
Tony?
What?
We're going to be having a meeting after the program today.
Oh, here we go.
I heard what you just said, mister. We'll get you straightened out. Have you seen the video, by the way, of the professor at the University of Toronto? You want a headache? Go Google University of Toronto professor. And he is talking he went out. There's a bill in Canada that says you cannot use genders. You've got to use zer and zed. You get zip and zoom, but you can't use his and her, him and her, any sort of masculine, feminine. You've got to use the pronouns of the politically correct police. The Trudeau administration, I can't remember the name of the bill, it passed. And now it's moving forward in Canadian government. And this professor had the courage to say, if the government starts telling us what pronouns we can use, then you can say goodbye to free speech. This is the beginning of the end. That's a pretty reasonable position. Besides, he's been studying Nazism, for instance, for 40 years. He's studied history a little bit to see how is it that fascists and totalitarian dictators, how do they get power? And by the way, this is how. And these kids are playing right into the hands of it, because this republic is for a moral people. And when you lose morality, you lose the republic, which is why we were told it's a republic. Keep it if you can. And they are wanting to take away free speech. Well, what happens then? Somebody has to control and determine what speech is. Somebody then controls and determines what religion you are. Somebody then determines and controls what car you drive, what house you live in, where you work, what your production value is. And that is what will replace the system that we presently have. And it'll usually be one individual who rises to the top and takes over, because there's going to be anarchy, there's going to be confusion, there'll be a split, and he's going to take over, and he will make it 10 times worse. And these kids don't have a clue that they're playing into that by yelling at the guy. How dare you? You're being offensive to me because you're opposed to that bill. You're intolerant. And they felt that they could shout the guy down with white noise because of what he was saying and was being so intolerant. And it's just a taste. Arthur Pink in 1943 helps us to understand, why are we here? We maybe think that everything crumbled in a day. No, it doesn't happen that way. 1943, A.W. Pink wrote, "The march of progress from 1920 onwards was, if measured by the standards of righteousness and decency, steadily downward." Listen to his description of the times, specifically the 20s. "An orgy of licentiousness was widely entered into. Nightclubs were multiplied. Gambling spread like wildfire." He was probably one of those guys who went, gambling's going to be bad for culture. Well, it turns out he was correct. It is bad for people. "Debauchery abounded on every side." Hooray for Hollywood. The beaches lowering their bathing restrictions and modesty became a thing of the past. Youth allowed to have its fling unrestrained. This is one of the reasons where we're at today. Morality and decency, the pillar of a republic and a civilized society, have been chopped at now for decades. This is not new. This is all those gay people. No, no, no. This is a series of issues, and it's almost always tied to sexual revolutions. I'm not necessarily talking about with guns, but revolutions always tied to sexual issues, thinking issues, because it's a rebellion against God. It's a rebellion against the whole idea of nudity and covering and sexual issues and gender issues. It all goes back to the garden, and that's what the war is really all about. A.W. Pink cites the novels and the magazines. He wrote, "The breakup and breakdown of civilization appears in such things as the decay of the sanctity of marriage, as evidenced by the multiplication of divorces." How many people in 73 when Richard Nixon, following, by the way, Governor Reagan in California, signed no-fault divorce as national legislation? Do you think there were some Christians going, that's bad? That's not good for us. I suspect. The abandonment of large numbers of babies, juvenile delinquency, centers are full, immorality among the young, vandalism, which is so rife. Law and order is almost reduced to a farce. It is the ugly and the vulgar which is preferred to the beautiful and refined. What a commentary on our so-called progress. Why does the professor get yelled at? Why does the baker get shut down? Why are Christian churches that practice church discipline against somebody who will not repent of same-sex relationships being ostracized, shellacked? Because this is where it's all been aiming. And it's not done. Okay, they're all done now. Nope. This is a spiritual battle in the heavenly places in an effort to suppress the truth, read Christianity, read God, in unrighteousness so that they can live without their consciences torturing them. What they don't know, they can try to stifle Christianity and throw us in the closet. Their consciences are still going to trouble them. This is Wretched Radio. So you have an objection to calling MediShare, do ya?
My husband was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer.
5 months of chemotherapy, 6 weeks of radiation, and a 10-hour surgery.
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
Now you have no excuses. Call MediShare today at 1-855-54-BIBLE, 1-855-54-BIBLE.
The world's fastest growing sect of Christianity is not Christian at all. Chances are likely your child, your church, are getting infected. That's why we produced Drunk in the Spirit. The New Apostolic Reformation boasts 369 million adherents. Drunk in the Spirit from Wretched Radio will let you know who these people are, what they teach, and why they're such a threat to your family and local church. Drunk in the Spirit, available now at wretchedradio.com.
Important dates in Christian history. 1559. John Knox returns to Scotland to lead Reformation there after a period of exile in Calvin's Geneva. Knox founded the Presbyterian Church, which became a driving force in English politics and the American Revolution. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Do not be deceived. Nothing has changed here at Wretched Radio. It is still a chaotic train wreck. This is Wretched Radio. Guess what I have for your ears? That's right, the video with audio, because it's just your ears, of the university professor in Toronto, dated October 11, 2016. Pretty self-explanatory. I will share any coloring or details that you need to get the picture. This professor in his suit and tie is standing in the middle of the campus. A crowd is gathered around him, and he delivers some hate speech.
Free speech is the mechanism by which we keep our society functioning.
Woo!
It's as a consequence of free speech and the ability to speak that people can put their finger on problems, articulate what those problems are, solve them and come to a consensus. And we risk losing that with Bill C-16 and its surrounding legislation. It's the first time I've seen in our legislative history where people are attempting
hear the boos
to make us speak their language.
Shame! 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 Shame!
Shame! Shame! Petula Clark, where are you when we need you? It's a sign of the times. That's what's going on in Toronto, and it's not just in Canada. It's happening in North America, too. In fact, America kind of gets dragged into this entire conversation. The professor tried to continue.
I know how it starts. It starts with restrictions on freedom of speech, and we don't need them.
And he gets driven out because people were yelling so loudly. Shame. I think it was a very brilliant fellow who once said numerous times that the mentality of our progressive culture looks at Christianity as if we are as backwards as we can possibly be. That we could not be more Neanderthalic. That we couldn't be bigger dodo dummy. We are completely untethered from reality. Well, we know they're untethered from truth, but they look at us, and I think we better understand this. As you look at a member of the Nazi Party and go, ugh. As you look at a member of the KKK and inclined to think, what is the matter with you? That's how they see us. What's the matter with us? What do you mean you don't want to say Zed, Zer, Zim, Zoom, Zoomzy, Zoom? And Aretha Franklin songs. What's the matter with you? Shame on you. How dare you rebel against what pronouns that the government mandates we use? That is a sign of the times. Now, this little drama continued. A reporter of some sorts from The Rebel started interviewing the kids who were shaming the professor.
What's your main argument? Because you're allowed to go on the mic.
No, I don't want to.
Why not?
White noise for white noise. That's how it works.
But they're actually saying things. You're literally white noise.
What?
They're actually making arguments. You're literally just making white noise.
Just talk to somebody else.
Talk to somebody else. I don't want to go with this whole logic and reason business, which is why we do well to remember, if we are trying to win this untethered generation, logic and reason will not win the day any more than they did in Corinth. Paul did not give wisdom to the Greeks. Hey, I'll enter into their philosophical debates and I'm going to show them that Christianity has it together. All the dominoes line up in our faith. Not so with your Socratic thinking. Nope. I preached Christ and him crucified. Why? As Phil Johnson says, in our new TV series called Untethered, which we're very excited about, he said this culture, this Corinthian culture, was very much like our society today, and they wanted wisdom. And 1 Corinthians 1, 2, and 3 is an all-out assault on using worldly wisdom. You just heard it. She reasoned. She said something logical. You're saying white noise for white noise. He's not white noise. He's sharing words and ideas. You're white noise. Talk to somebody else. Did we really expect the kid to go, you know what, you're right? Now that you mention it, you're correct. My worldview is completely wonky. No, he's not going to do that, and people are not going to do that regarding Christianity. If we just use apologetics, which have their place, we use them all the time here on Wretched Radio. But that is not what wins somebody. That supports the proclamation of the word, which is a two-edged sword that cuts through really bad thinking, gets to the conscience, so that the person can become regenerated and not think, well, like these students. You can't see this? Hear this woman? So much fun. She's got a bottle of glitter. And she's pouring it all over the woman who's doing the interviewing. That's what this woman gets for asking questions. She's like, with a hostile face, shaking glitter over the reporter for just asking questions. Is there anything different that you are aware of in the North American DNA that is different from the DNA of human beings who physically abuse, torture, and kill Christians in North Korea? Is there anything? The answer is no. There is no reason to think that this will not get pretty nasty.
Stop that.
I come from a country that has been bombed by NATO and that has been war-torn, to this country where I thought it was more liberal and more democratic. And now they're not even allowing people to speak on the campus, and they're labeling them all as racist. Privilege is given to those people that have been grown up in a country that has not been bombed, that has not had any kind of war in it, and that have the freedom of speech saying those kind of stuff. But this is just outrageous. It's despicable, and it's just disgusting to have these people protest against hate speech. They're doing the hatred and the racism here.
Where are you from?
I'm from Serbia.
She gets it. And did you notice what she said? Liberals. Who are the free speech people? Liberals, because we want people to be able to say what they want to say. Otherwise, you have complete shut. I'm not talking about our current understanding.
You mean in the classic understanding?
That's what she. That's the way she gets it.
Yeah, even in the anything goes sense of a liberal, then if anything goes, then free speech goes, right?
Well, this woman understood it. Free speech and what category it goes into better than these kids do. Can we really think that somehow these kids will never be as aggressive or violent or put people in jail simply because they happen to be from Canada? I don't think so. This is a story from Breaking Christian News. Dozens of pastors in Vietnam imprisoned face poisoning for refusing to register house churches. This is, in my opinion, about to become a reality in North America. Canada, America, Great Britain, Western Europe, and potentially Australia. I don't know how our Australian mates are doing these days with the attitude toward religion. I don't think it's as hot there as it is here. But I suspect you're going to get infected more and more. At least 108 pastors are currently in prison because they refuse to register. You say, well, that's what they do in Vietnam. And how are they different than the parliament, the Liberal Parliament in Canada? How are they different than progressives like Hillary Clinton, who doesn't like freedom of religion but freedom of worship? Why would we think that they're not going to start registering churches? Look, this is the line. You'll use Zer and Zed. You won't do church discipline. 1 Corinthians 6, Romans 1, Leviticus. All got to go. You'll stop that. And then we will let you have your tax-exempt status if you're registered and promise not to do that. If we catch you, we'll take away your tax-exempt status. The next step after that is then we will imprison you. Your church, most likely, isn't going to sign that document. What did they do in Vietnam? Same thing they're likely to do here. Put people in prison, specifically pastors. We need to remember that's normative. John Bunyan was in jail because he refused to not preach the true unadulterated gospel. And the good news to that story is, that's one, we got Pilgrim's Progress because of it. Get used to pastors being toted away in cuffs. Churches regulated by the government are prohibited from meeting in smaller groups. No Sunday school classes for children or adults. No youth groups or other gatherings apart from the congregational worship as a whole. Taking communion, collecting offerings, forbidden. Police monitor sermons to ensure nothing is said against communism. Plural leadership is prohibited. Only one leader is allowed for each congregation. Children prohibited from learning about Jesus, etc., etc. Oh, what's this article from the Christian Post? Huh. A BBC documentary, 6 months tracking America's most radical Christian hate groups. Huh. Artfully presenting hatred against, abortionists and people who are opposed to the LGBTQ lifestyle. Defining us as a rising scourge that must be arrested. Knock. knock, knock. Are you ready, church? This is Wretched Radio.
Feeling stressed out? Well, join the club. There's only been one man who never felt anxious. Thankfully, that man spoke on anxiety for three straight chapters in the Gospel of John. Because Jesus doesn't want you to be worried. Stressed Out, a practical biblical guide to anxiety. Todd's latest book, DVD, and Sunday school curriculum. So lose your worry warts. Stressed Out, available at wretchedradio.com.
It's official. Yep, Christianity is now the official religion of haters and bigots. And that's why we produced a new DVD, Wretched Worldview, Persecution. Because Christians need to know how to respond to our new tolerant culture that is increasingly intolerant of Christians. Wretched Worldview, Persecution is available now at wretchedradio.com. Wretched. Amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Books of the Bible. Acts is the second volume of the Gospel according to Luke. It begins with the ascension of Christ and covers the first 30 years of the early church. Acts is about the sovereignty of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, and the preaching of the word as early Christians seek to spread the gospel from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Shocked and dismayed. I'm simply shocked and dismayed.
And dismayed.
This is... Yeah, I bomb yeah. both things here on Wretched Radio. Not everybody agrees with me about everything. Now, that
the
is shocking
there.
And dismaying.
No,
if you
that's
disagree,
not true.
The fact okay. that they... Yeah?
What is true, Joey?
See what I did there?
Idea at wretchedradio.com. If you want to communicate with us, question, comment, correction, conundrum, or snark, or you can beep talk at 1-877-282-BEEP. 1-877-282-BEEP, like this fellow who is, I don't think he's happy with me.
I keep hearing you talk about homeschooling, you know, Sacramento, that's in California, in case you didn't homeschool. And what's with that, man? And I'm very serious. I mean, I would appreciate a little more sensitivity with that. I think it's a little condescending and...
Wait, sir, without appearing to dismiss your concern and your critique, could we start with... Nope, to make sure. Nope, nope. But see, no matter how I do this, it's going to come across as sort of trying to couch what I'm being accused of not being sensitive. Or I would say, if not being sensitive, I would say is a sin. Loving your neighbor doesn't mean that you do something that provokes them. So, sir, I am going to suggest that you are saying that I'm sinning. So I take that seriously, and I want to respond to that. And I will, but I let me at least explain to you my thinking behind it.
You should be good. I'm sorry.
Kind of a so glad to have somebody who's got my back.
Right there for you, bro.
With a target on it.
Well,
and a shotgun, because direct aim isn't all that important. Just a splattering.
I could miss.
It's a twofold the way that I thought it in my mind when I presented it. Was twofold. Number one, that homeschoolers, we have a tendency to think our kids are smarter than everybody else's, and people who don't homeschool, don't know where Sacramento is. So in a sense, it was a bit of a poke at our attitude for those of us who homeschool. On the other hand, yes, sir, I must admit, it's a bit of a shot at public education. I do... think that there are excellent Christian school teachers, and there's even some good pagan professors out there that do a great job. But overall, I think the system is not as good as it could be. So it was a dual critique. Now, having said that was my heart behind the issue, and I think this has application for all of us. Does it matter? Does it matter? The fellow is offended. He thinks, therefore, I'm sinning. Do I get to brush it off and go, well, I wasn't, because in my mind, I didn't. Now, if we conclude that somebody can always say, well, that offends me, you're sinning, stop it. That's problematic, too, because there are some things that are simply true that might indeed offend that we don't stop. For instance, biblically, without being snarky about it, you can label a fool. And we should. There's five types of fools, don't forget, in the book of Proverbs. You ever want to read a helpful article? We tackled this years ago, so we won't go back to it. Dr. Paul Taugess, T-A-U-T-G-E-S, T-A-U-T-G-E-S, is from Sheboygan, and he's a biblical counselor.
That's in Wisconsin if you don't homeschool.
Poking the bear.
Right upside the head.
I can't believe that you would do that when I'm right in the middle of trying to get us out of muddy waters and you jump right back in and toss us back into the drink. Dr. Todd is from Sheboygan.
Muddy waters.
Speaking of five types of fools, Sheboygan, Dr. Paul Todd's talks. Just
wait a
Google
minute, you're
that.
Calling Sheboygan foolish? I'm offended.
That's what I'm doing. This is working out beautifully. And you'll read that the Bible explains that there's five types of fools. Labeling them accurately is very helpful because all of our children are that. They're foolish. Now, that's not meant to be stupid, idiot, dodo, bird. They're foolish. We all were and still can be and increasingly are moving toward maturity. You would do well to identify which type of fool you have because some fools require a rod. Some fools require education. Some fools, they require not a physical, but some sort of a consequence. So determine what kind of fool you have. I mean, it'll help you to know how you treat your foolish child. And it also helps us to understand that labeling something rightly isn't a sin. So we've got to be careful that we don't let people say, well, if you ever say anything that offends, you can't say it. Having said that, this is a question that will be applied by you in your home sooner or later and probably sooner. You, almost undoubtedly, if you live in a home with a bunch of other sinners, sin is going to happen. And somebody is going to try to respond by justifying themselves. For instance, I know of this guy. Let's just say this fellow, he told me about this the other day. It was a little chaotic in their home. The doorbell rang. It was a guest who needed tending. One of the spouses approached the other spouse and said, I need you to deal with that. To which that spouse said, I need to get to work. Well, there you have it. Life. Sin. Now, the fellow whom I happen to know who said, I need to get to work, was kind of snippy with the tone. And that fellow could be inclined to think, but I'm justified in my snippiness because my spouse didn't ask if I would take care of it. She told me I need to take care of it. And that's not the way you talk to another person. Therefore, I have the right to be snippy back. No. No, the fellow doesn't have that right. He was he was
wrong.
That's the one. He was wrong. Just flat out wrong. His response wounded. It stung. It was delivered with a snarky tone. And it needs to stop. Whether it is actually justified or not. Now, that brings us back to the fellow who thought I was being condescending about making the homeschool reference like, 2 times 7 is 14 in case you don't homeschool. He said, that's offensive, so stop it. So what do? I didn't think that I was sinning. I was just making some fun. Do I stop or do I continue? Joey, what say you? Yes, you're getting dragged into this too.
Well, if you continue, there will be trouble. If you stop, it will be double. So come on, you let me know.
Hmm. Should I stay or should I fight? Sorry.
Yep.
Greek illusion.
What
Tony, should I stop saying, making the homeschool reference, even though my heart says, I'm like Ronald Reagan. My heart and my instincts tell me I wasn't trading arms for snarky homeschool comments. Should I stop knowing that at least one person finds it to be a rather degrading comment? Tony, do I stop?
Entirely your choice.
You are... Since when are you not opinionated?
Oh, I have an opinion. I just don't think this is... It's not my call. I mean...
Okay, I think what you just said offended me, and you were being condescending. Are you going to stop or not?
Oh, no. I wouldn't.
Well, that wasn't hard to get out of you after all.
But that's me. I'm a jerk. Right.
So I'd explain it and continue.
Explain it. Oh, that's a third option. Explain it and continue. You know what? I'm going to fall on the side of stopping. Why? Okay, so I can explain it, but it so? I mean, the person could go, oh, I didn't understand. I guess that could be something you could, if I could talk to the fellow, I would say, well, okay, now that you understand my heart, is it okay to say it? And if he says, well, I still think, then I would stop it, because love doesn't insist on its own way. I don't have to have it. And I need to be reminded that I am more capable of wounding and sinning than I think that I can or do. The fellow who was snippy with his wife, who just brought him Zaxby's not too many minutes ago, that guy that I was talking about, immediately his thought process, I know this because I can read minds, his thought process was, I wasn't that snippy anyway. See, I can't see, but if the offended party says, but you were, I'm going to trust that. And I'm okay with that because I'm more concerned about loving and not sinning than I am in having my own way. Even when it is not delivered in a loving fashion, the proverbial wise man receives it. He lambanos the correction and appreciates it. The fool does not. This is Wretched Radio. So you have an objection to calling MediShare, do ya?
My husband was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer.
5 months of chemotherapy, 6 weeks of radiation, and a 10-hour surgery.
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
Now you have no excuses. Call MediShare today at 1-855-54-BIBLE. 1-855-54-BIBLE.
It's official. Yep, Christianity is now the official religion of haters and bigots. And that's why we produced a new DVD, Wretched Worldview, Persecution. Because Christians need to know how to respond to our new tolerant culture that is increasingly intolerant of Christians. Wretched Worldview, Persecution is available now at wretchedradio.com. Wretched. Amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the cornerstone. When laying a foundation, every stone must be aligned in reference to the cornerstone. God is building his church as a holy temple, and as believers, we are being brought into line with the cornerstone, Jesus Christ.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
So I just received an email from that snippy guy. Yeah, that's what I did. This is Wretched Radio. You can send an email to idea@wretchedradio.com. It was sort of like the one I'm pretending that I just received from the guy who was snippy with his wife. She told him to do something. He responded by snarking. And then his original thinking about her being offended was, I'm justified. I had every right to be a jerk because you said something wrong to me. But then the saga continues according to the email. This jerk didn't think it was a big deal. In fact, became just a wee bit agitated that somebody would be offended by something so trivial. This is something that I need to work on a ton. I love me some me. I really dig me. And so when somebody is offended by me, I'm actually offended that they could possibly be offended at me. I'm not offensive, I'm me. And that is the source for a fair amount of animosity inside of a home. That will keep you at war. Not being aware that the things that I do can hurt people. I heard from another guy who was having a conversation with his kids, and he believed that he was speaking the truth. And one of the daughters, who happens to look a lot like me, ironically, with tears in her eyes, said, "I can't believe that you would say that." What? I was speaking truth, and you're being hypersensitive. That is not the Christian response. The Christian response is, "I'm sorry. While I didn't mean to, I did, and for that I am sorry." Without excuses, I'm not going to try to explain it. I'm not going to try to couch it. I'm just going to repent. That is not easy. How do you get to that place? How do you naturally hear somebody say to you, "You know, you were really offensive," and not go, "Brr, hey, Rocky, watch me pull a rabbit out of my hat." How do you get to that place? I think it goes back to the very basics, that we go about the business of staring at Jesus with unveiled face, and we're changed from glory into glory. We will become more like Jesus. We will think more like God the more we study Jesus. Now, what do we study about Jesus? Well, I think we study his premier work, healings. By the way, I'm reading through the book of Luke again, and I was struck. It's more so in Mark, the Gospel of Mark. But in Luke, he sends out the 70 to heal people, cast out demons. Everywhere he went, crowds gathered around with sick people to heal. Jesus virtually, probably as somebody here or there, wiped out disease in Israel. And those healing miracles, I study those. And those are a good thing to study. What do I see? I see an attribute of God. He's kind and compassionate. He heals the sick. I learn about God by watching Jesus. But if I really, really, really want to learn about God, I study the cross. I go to Golgotha, and I take a look at what put the Son of God there. And what do I see? It is my sins that nailed him to the tree. It is my sins that brought him there. It is my sin that killed the Savior, and that should cause my heart to break. And then I see his love in dying for me, a sinner, and it gives me hope. And it gives me a correct balance of humility and hopefulness. So you've got to study the cross. If you want that humility, let the cross speak to you. You are such a bad sinner. You are still such a bad sinner. Now you're not as bad a sinner as you used to be, but you're still so capable of sin. Consider Paul in Romans 7. I want to do good, but I don't. And he did speak like the aardvark, by the way. I want to do good, but I can't do it. And so I think that I'm going to find myself an anteater. No, he was the aardvark.
The aardvark.
That was Pink Panther? What was he looking for?
The ant and the aardvark.
He was going after the coyote. Or that was the roadrunner.
He was going after the ant.
I don't want to get all complicated with cartoon illusions here. Paul wrestled with sin. There was a battle that was going fully capable. What did he consider himself? 1 Timothy 1:15. I'm the chief. I am the chief of sinners. I'm it. That should be my attitude. And I need to believe that more and more and more, because I'm inclined not to, because it's me we're talking about here. The more you believe that you're the chief of sinners in your home, when somebody says to you, "Dad, Mom, you hurt me, your response will naturally become, I'm so sorry, because I don't even know what it was, but I'm so capable of that. Please forgive me. It is a heart that has been transformed by the gospel. You have a chance to put your faith to work. So often, this is very easy to do. We compartmentalize, faith is over there, and then I've got to deal with life over here. No, this is a perfect demonstration that the Christian faith works. It does something. Let the sin in your home be the time when you uncork that bottle of balm called the gospel, and you pour it out lavishly on everybody. Let sin be your post-it note to remind you, oh, we are a family that needs the gospel. All that to say, sweetheart, I mean, sir, the fellow who called about the homeschool, I'm sorry about what I said. You can send your emails, corrections, comments, conundrums, or snarks to idea@wretchedradio.com. Got another correction here. Pastor Alan Harris, if that's your real name. You know, I think I'm doing better at accepting criticism already.
You've offended a pastor. Nice. That's good.
Great email or great article about the suffering of Christ. If you recall, we were talking about hematidrosis, that he sweat drops of blood. It was blood and sweat mingled. That is how great his suffering was. And we were talking about that. And we were also talking about what Jesus, oh, I know what he's referring to specifically, about the suffering of, oh, I sent out an email, the newsletter. You can get it for free at wretchedradio.com. I was taking us to the cross, especially in this political season, when we can have a tendency to maybe get our priorities a little out of whack. Our hearts get dashed, our hopes are crushed because we are putting all of our confidence into an earthly system and we're forgetting about God's kingdom and what he's trying to build and do. So let's go back to the cross, I said in the email, and it said, and I'm paraphrasing, take a listen. Let's use our senses at the cross. Take a listen. Do you hear the dull thud of fists pummeling the face of the Prince of Glory? Listen. Listen to the nails as they are hammered through the hands of the Carpenter of Galilee. Listen to the nails banging through the feet that walked on water. Turn your head in shame as you see the Creator stripped naked by his creation. Look at the cross, stare at the cross, and see what Jesus did for you as the King of Kings, the Diamond of Heaven, gasps for breath because he is being held by nails and wood. He can't breathe, and he did it for you. Look at the cross. So Pastor responds and said, that was nice, but the severity of the punishment was Jesus drinking the cup of the wrath of Almighty God, far greater than the physical suffering. And I fully agree with that. Here, the only thing is we need to be careful about that because we don't have a description of how that worked, what the mechanics were behind it, what the level. Jesus was punished for the sins of everyone that he is going to save. And that was a lot more than crucifixion. A lot of people were crucified, but that didn't pay for our sins. God poured out his wrath, had Jesus drink the cup of his wrath to the dregs on our behalf. And we didn't get to see that. But he received that on our behalf. Remember that part of his suffering too. Oh, great. This person says in brotherly love from Austin, Texas, but it's another correction. Todd, there's a difference between Shakers and Quakers. Quakers, George Fox was a Quaker, and he, were anti-war. The Shakers were a charismatic movement. Literally, mm-hmm. They would shake and commonly live in cloisters and didn't believe in marriage on earth. Thus, they all died out. Got a correction? Happily, we will receive them. at idea@wretchedradio.com. We welcome them. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.